Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Mask off.
Man, the story continues with Aaron Rodgers and all the speculation about what's going to happen with him. Good morning from New York City.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed.
Who wears Keyshawn 12 in Denver?
It won't matter.
Yeah, right.
If somebody else wants
to wear. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We've got a show for you today, by the way. A lot of great guest list, by the way, and also, obviously, a lot of great topics to get to. So, on the Aaron Rodgers
poor Trinity Benson
conversation, go ahead.
No, I just said poor Trinity Benson. That's who wears 12 in Denver.
You looked it up.
Poor guy.
Right. Well, maybe, although usually like to get a number, like don't you have to work out a deal?
The name and the number, he won't. Yeah, hey, Trinity Benson in trouble.
Big bank always wins.
Yeah, he's in trouble though. He's in trouble. He's just gonna have to turn it in.
There's no deal.
We're gonna need you to hand a number.
Trinity
over
Benson, no deal. Not a deal with him. I'm not gonna give you something I'm gonna get anyway. Why would I give you some money and I'm getting that number anyway?
It's like, honestly though, like, can you explain it?
What do you mean? Explain what?
Explain. I have no idea what you're talking about. I'll leave
the
it.
Number,
at that.
The 12. Number.
Yes, 12.
12. Yeah. Trinity Benson's a wide receiver for the Denver Broncos.
Right. He is 12.
From East Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's a young kid, East Central. And he's
so
a
hanging
young,
on the roster kind of guy.
He's hanging on the roster, kind of hanging around. I need to get that number when I come in. And if he says to me, hey, I need to get $100,000 from you for the number.
You will not be on the team anymore.
You're probably going to give me that number anyway. Because
Tom Brady worked out something, didn't he?
I think Chris Godwin just gave him the number. I think Chris Godwin said it's the GOAT, here you go. And I don't even think that the Denver Broncos equipment managers are not even going to ask the kid.
Yeah, I'm saying Chris Godwin and Trinity are completely different people.
When he comes to his locker for OTAs at training camp, he'll have number 16 or something.
By the way, Trinity, you'll see that laying on his back watching SportsCenter. You just see the number 12 up there. Aaron Rodgers, like, damn, they didn't even ask me?
You're saying this isn't like Michael Pittman, Carson Wentz, where he's like, I'm good. I'm not going to give you my number.
Right, like Michael Pittman was where I was going to go with that, where he's just like,
yeah, Michael Pittman's
my
a
number.
Starter and he's a player.
And we're not comparing Carson Wentz to Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So stop.
But that still is kind of funny. But that is still very aggressive thing to do. It's just like, you know, that's my number.
It's
my number.
It's not going to be that conversation with Aaron Rodgers.
It's not going to be a conversation.
It's not going to be a conversation.
All right, here's the thing, though. When will we have that press conference? Will it be in June after that key, right, that June 1st date that everybody's looking at as the time if the Packers are going to make a deal? That would be it. According to Pro Football Focus, the Packers regard the notion that Rodgers was told he'd be traded as unequivocally false. So, you know, the speculation still remains on that. There's no doubt about that. But as we wait and see what's going to happen, there's some, you know, what was it, A.J. Hawk, who thought, you know, can we just work this out? Maybe there's still a way that he can return to Green Bay. A lot of people can't envision him in, you know, blue and orange in Denver. You know, he's a, you know, a green and yellow in that jersey. That's what he is. That's Aaron Rodgers. And Amon Green is another former teammate of his, a former player that we had on. And what he said seemed pretty secure with this, that there's just no way Aaron Rodgers is going to cave in.
I believe it'll be coming down to either sign him or they may have to trade him, because he is a guy that once, you know, certain things happen certain things have already happened. It's make sure you have it where I want to come here and be comfortable to play and have an offense around me, which they've done this year in the draft by drafting Amari from Clemson. So right now he has a lot of the leverage and he's a smart guy. He always wants to be the smartest in the room, and he is right now.
That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So does he have all the leverage, guys? I mean, is this really all about him knowing that I could just sit out and he has that ability to do that financially to say, I'll just sit out and make you make a deal?
Well, I think when you're secure in that position, one, financially, I think he's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And two, his security is in his mind. Can I withstand sitting at home when everybody else is playing and I'm sitting at home watching something that my body clock tells me I should be doing? If he could do that, then he has all the leverage in the world. But if it's one of those deals where he's an addict to the degree that he can't and he has to play and he can't stay, then he's in trouble. But if he makes his mind up and he says, man, I'm just going to stay at home. I don't care. I'll stay at home. I'll wait. I'll come in with 6 weeks to go. I'll get my accredited season. And if you decide to move me at that point before the trade deadline, great. Otherwise, I'm so content, I'm willing to just sit and chill. I go, I'm go skiing with my girlfriend or something.
Go get the money and just call it a day.
Well, what'll happen is they'll start to threaten him economically. You know, we're going to go get some of the money we can get back from you. And he may say, okay, how much is it? It's 30. I'll give you your $30 million back. I just want out.
That's leverage?
I don't think that's leverage. Yeah, nonchalantly throwing out, I'll give you $30 million back.
Because you have to stand firm when you make that decision.
Here's my thing. Here's why I think the Packers have the leverage here. And I know that in Aaron Rodgers' mind, that is the case you would probably want to go towards. But, man, my man just won the MVP. He's playing some of the best football of his career. So to just say, you know what, I'm just going to sit there and just let it take its toll and just dwindle, that's a lot for somebody that feels like they have a lot left in the tank. And I know that may be the move to sit it out, but Key, you and I both know this. As athletes, you become addicted to what you do. And to put in the big scheme of things.
That's what I said, the addiction part of it.
Like, you are playing football. I got one leg. I'm still playing basketball at Chelsea Piers because I love basketball. Still putting in work. So when you put it into the big scheme of things to play football, to get paid the money you do to play football, a sport that you love, you will play for damn free anyway. That's going to be the hard part for Aaron Rodgers at this juncture of his career.
But when you built different, like Armand Green has said and others have said, when you built different mentally, that part of it is like, you cross me, I'm good. I don't need to be here with you. I can go do something else. And I'm going to show you I can do something else. And it's going to hurt you and your team and your career as a general manager and front office people because you forced this team to lose games.
I didn't force it. I had miscommunication with you.
Yeah, but you can
spin tried to amend that. But, I mean, look, if you go and you read Rob Domofsky's article on ESPN.com, which is great, it gives a thorough timeline of all these disgruntled issues that Aaron Rodgers has had with the team. Like, I get the accumulation effect. But if you're Green Bay, you're sitting there saying, okay, like, I'm trying to amend this. I'm trying to come to the table
and help me fix it.
But you're going to be that person that says, you don't want to fix it? Okay,
well, now you
stand off.
Because I can't trust you, though, Jay. I don't like you, and I can't trust you.
But that's the part where you start becoming the bad guy.
Relationships have these things that happen, Key. Like, people make mistakes in relationships. Like, if you want to make it work, if you do want to retire here, then work with me to make it work.
I've tried to work with you over the years, and you continue to just slap me in the face.
All right, and going through that timeline that Jay referenced, the Domofsky story that's on ESPN.com, that's the fascinating part of it is as you look at it going back to August of 2019 is when really all this stuff happens. It begins with them giving Drew Locke a workout. Simply that. It starts to go, oh, why would you bring in a young quarterback? What are you doing? And then obviously they move up and they get Jordan Love in the draft, and that creates even more of the concern. And the early quotes, again, Gutekunst quoted at the time when they brought in Drew Locke for a workout, saying Aaron wants to win. I think that's the most important thing. He knows we're trying to make the best decision for the football team going forward. So I don't worry about that, but I'm not with all players. You can't control that. Players get happy and sad about all kinds of things, so I'm not too concerned about that. What it shows you there, all the way back at the beginning of this, to me, is he's called players. He already was putting Aaron Rodgers in the same bucket as everyone when he used that. Oh, players are always going to feel this way. There's players, and then there's
Aaron Rodgers,
your player. Yeah. And that's, to me, what the beginning of the issues between them. Can they work it out? Remains to be seen. But remember also, Mark Murphy said, we are not trading him. So that's where now the standoff begins. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
They always say they're not going to trade.
No contract, no compromise. Mm-hmm. No, it's true. They all say it, but it will become a standoff. And, again, that timeline, though, shows you. It goes back at least 3 years when the issues – began. One NFL player who's completely burned the bridge with his former team and what he said about that former team. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
The Broncos pick up quarterback Teddy Bridgewater from the Panthers.
What do you make of this quarterback room in Denver?
Teddy Bridgewater is a better quarterback than Drew Lock. I think it puts Drew Lock on notice.
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Questions in Denver, of course. Drew Lock on notice. Well, is Teddy Bridgewater also going to be on notice?
I mean, Teddy Two Gloves is fine.
He's become Teddy Bridge quarterback.
I don't know about being fine, but
I'm one of my favorite guys too, and it's a shame because he was really ready to take over that Minnesota franchise, and now since then he's bouncing around. But he's talented, but he's also not just talented. He's not happy, at least with the way they ran things in Carolina. We talk so much about Sam Darnold going to Carolina. Oh, he's got Joe Brady, got Matt Rhule. They're really going to get the most out of him. Well, Teddy Bridgewater kind of revealed something about the experience in Carolina with Joe Brady.
Threw some water on that fire.
Kind of revealed.
A little bit, yeah. Like just put the curtain back. Like, you know what? It wasn't quite a great experience.
Here's a knife, just the edge of the knife, going right into piercing the skin.
Was this petty, or was this just him letting you know it's not what you think? This is from the All Things Covered podcast. Take a listen to Teddy Bridgewater.
I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth. I think, man, like that organization, they'll have to like just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2 minute really. We didn't practice red zone, you know, so.
A whole day devoted for two minutes in red zone, that's Thursday practice.
I mean, it's, you know, I guess the game is becoming about science, you know, and trying to keep guys healthy. So you didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through like the red, you walk through the red zone stuff, and then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps, and guys reps all the way limited.
Now, we talked about this yesterday. Key, how important are those red zone reps and, you know, working on 2 minute and everything else that he talked about?
Extremely important. When you think about it, look at
the under 2 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just look at the ESPN 2. Look at the rankings where they're at. They're dead. They're at the bottom of every category that makes sense in the two-minute drill in the fourth quarter.
Right. QBR 30th, off-target percentage, offense 31st, interception percentage 29th, sacks tied for 30th. That is their under 2 minutes
zero
in the fourth
touchdowns.
Quarter. And no touchdowns. So didn't spend a lot of time on it in Carolina, and the numbers tell you it shows.
And what's so crazy about it, and I know you'll laugh when I say this, if they needed to put me in the two-minute to play quarterback in the league, I would have been able to do it. No, don't know how efficient I would have been, but I would have been able to do it because I was prepared. I knew everything because that's all we did. Mm-hmm. Every single team I've ever been on, whether it was John Fox, a defensive-minded coach, we ran the two-minute. I mean, it's just we could do it blindfolded.
Why are you laughing?
Just because I love Key.
Man, we it's like, true.
Never played a quarterback position before, but if you put me in that, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it.
You can do it because you prepare for it, though, Jay. When you prepare for
something. You never played it. Well, have you?
You're prepared for it.
No, but I get what he's, you get what he's saying.
I get what he's saying.
I'm not saying, literally.
I know.
I mean, I've thrown passes in the NFL. Not,
see, that's what I'm saying. You know, I knew we were going to go.
I actually
that's exactly
never
where
completed any of them, but I've thrown a few. But it's one of those deals where when you're prepared, okay, you can go to sleep and know it's in red zone. Every single Friday was huge red zone, period. That was all we did was red zone. The whole day. We either go up and down the field, or they put it in a certain position on in the red zone at 30. We would probably be the 30 in, I think, 25 in. That was our red zone period. And we would just everything. One-on-ones in the red zone, 7-on-7 in the red zone.
Yeah, so clearly
half-skelly in the red zone.
By the way, you look at Minnesota for the Panthers, 1-point loss. At New Orleans, 3-point loss. Mm. Vegas, 4-point. They have a lot of those games.
They struggle.
Right in those margins. Here's what I will say for Sam Darnold, though, because automatically people went to, should Sam Darnold be worried? Sam Darnold needs to go into North Carolina and say, look, I've had a lot of mistakes that have happened during my first couple of years, several years with the New York Jets. I get it. I was with Adam Gase. If these reports are true, then Joe Brady, let's fix this. Sam Darnold needs to own this franchise. And it starts with him voicing his concern and addressing that with the coaching staff.
Is that him, though? Now, listen,
Matt. It needs to be
him.
Hang on a second. It's evolution.
Right. But Matt Rhule, of course, did respond to this, the head coach of the Panthers.
Of course he did.
in a press conference with reporters regarding what Bridgewater said about the team's preparation.
I'm never really going to say anything bad or talk badly about any of our players or contradict them. And I think for me, that extends to former players. So, you know, I'm on record of stating how I feel about Teddy. I expect him to do great things. I will always cheer for him. I'm sorry that maybe he doesn't maybe feel the same way about some things. But for me, I'm going to be the same guy. I'm going to continue to always support the guys who played for me. But I feel really good about what we do. I want to make sure I say that. I feel really good about the way we practice and our process. I'm disappointed to hear that he didn't feel the same way.
Amazing that he spent most of that cut just trying to diffuse any issues that he might have with Teddy,
trying to take the high road.
Praising Teddy. It took him to the end to say, oh, what we do, though, I'm confident in it. Doesn't mean they shouldn't change it, though.
Well, you want to be classy.
Big on relationships.
You know, was he supposed to bash Teddy Two Gloves back?
Yeah, you can't.
You're not going
to
do that.
It's not bashing him. I'm not asking you to bash him. But explain to me what it is that you do.
I'm going to give you a Keyshawn Johnson. You know? Why do I need to explain to the media what I do? Why I do that?
Well, because you're a coach and a former player is saying he failed at his job because you guys didn't prepare him in the 2-minute nor the red zone. So I just want to know. What is it that you're doing? Because you traded for another quarterback that may have the same experience that Teddy had. Then what? And then you tell me on top of that, you believe in what you're doing. Clearly, what you're doing isn't working.
You're so funny, man. We sat up here last year and argued about Doug Peterson not telling the media why he needed to do things. And now you're going to sit up here and tell me that now you need Matt Rhule to explain to the media why he doesn't.
No, I'm talking about explaining what Teddy is saying.
I know, but Doug.
Teddy is saying, an indictment on who you are. Nobody bashed on the team Doug Peterson. No one bashed Doug Peterson. Teddy Bridgewater is basically saying that Matt Rhule and Joe Brady have no idea what the hell they're doing.
And you're saying so he's forced to address this
because it's a player revealing something going on
with your preparation, and you need to make sure that that doesn't become a thing around the league, like, hey, those guys don't know what they're doing.
Exactly.
So I have to answer it because it's a player, not somebody in the media saying
exactly, 100%.
But you could also, if you're Matt Rhule, and I think that's why he was taking the high road, I think what he was trying to suggest is – Teddy's trying to give an excuse for a poor performance. And if you're Teddy, you're like, man, I'm on like my third team in 3 years.
I mean, by the way, in a lot of those games, too, like Teddy was not great.
Well, yeah, that was
so
the feeling.
It's like, okay.
It wasn't
If you're not prepared in the 2-minute in the red zone, you're not going to be good. And I understand what Teddy was saying.
I agree with that. Based on
science and load management or whatever you want to call it, to get people off their feet, yes, you rest. But if you're not getting the timing down, where you can see things mesh and people are running around, you're not going to be successful at it.
Keyshawn J.
That's
Will.
The only guy.
Go ahead. Finish that. Finish that
no,
thought.
Man,
go ahead and put it out there.
Keyshawn
J. Will Zubin brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Proud to serve members of the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Our members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. So, how about load management? Of course, we know it's a problem in the NBA. In fact, some think it's ruining the NBA. But is it coming to the NFL now with the extra week? That's after Key has this from Indeed.
As the only guy. Need to hire people fast? Indeed can help you beat the clock with a powerful hiring tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job at Indeed. We'll send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skill tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent so you can find the right candidates faster. Do you know 10 hires are made every minute, Jay, on Indeed? Just goes to show you when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Load management, injury management, sitting players out. You're just literally just making a mockery of the regular season. The players have decided the regular season doesn't matter. You're saying the regular season doesn't matter.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Load management. Curse word in sports, isn't it? Or a curse phrase or whatever you want to call it.
Really,
people, fans are tired of hearing about it. And the question is, of course, will it be sneaking its way into the NFL? What are you making a face for?
Because it's heavy metal at the back end of the music.
It sounded good. It was intense. That's what we're about to do here.
Yeah, we are.
Doesn't get you fired up. Let's go. It's about time for some screaming and yelling. And speaking of rants. Listen to Greeny on his radio show yesterday. I thought this was fantastic. I heard it in the car, and I was just like, you know, yelling out, absolutely, I agree with everything he said on this. And it has to do with a load management reaction to the NBA, but it was a reaction to a LeBron James tweet. Now, LeBron James, not a load management guy, as we know. He's a guy that always wants to play. But he had a tweet the other day that caught me and Greeny and several others when we saw a certain phrase.
Oh, my God.
He said, getting close, but here's the key phrase. I won't be in the lineup tonight. This was against the Rockets. But more importantly, I'll be there to put that championship banner in the rafters at Staples Center in front of our fans. More importantly, I'll let Greeny take it from here.
Nothing is more important than playing a game. You have a game. Don't tell me to care about your games if you're telling me you don't. Don't tell me I should get excited about these games if you're telling me you don't. You're not excited. It's more important to raise the banner. Anyone can raise the banner. We came to watch a game. We came to watch you play. You're the best player. Now, again, I don't like doing this when it comes to LeBron because LeBron traditionally has not load managed. But at the end of the day, it is just a perfect microcosm of what has gone wrong here. The players have decided the regular season doesn't matter.
Has anybody ever played 82 games?
Michael Jordan.
No. I'm just saying, like, people who have takes like this,
I guarantee you.
No. Stop.
Don't give me that. You don't know what it's like, garbage. Because that's what we grew up on the NBA with guys who were stars that played pretty much every night.
Yeah, and those guys weren't playing basketball every single day of the offseason, weren't doing USA basketball, didn't just have a truncated season. Like, I don't understand why we are picking apart a LeBron James tweet on saying, more importantly for him, raising a banner. They were playing against the worst team in the NBA.
Let's make it clear. This was not about LeBron. He even said that. He qualified it as, this is really not about LeBron. It's just about the phrasing used and the idea of the mentality now.
No, hold on. I understand he said it wasn't about LeBron, and it's the phrasing, but the tweet is LeBron's tweet. And you said
it's the mentality of it.
No, hold on. You said to me that raising the banner is more important than playing in a game. So why should I care about coming to the game? All you care about is raising the banner. So it is about LeBron, because LeBron was the one who said raising the banner.
It's the mentality all around the
league. Wait, Keith, the mentality's messed up. The mentality's messed up because you're worried about raising banners.
Yes!
And that's why I played a game!
That's why I played the damn game, to raise the banner!
Don't play semantics with me on this.
Alan, I am hurt. I am going to try and go. I can't go. I don't feel good about it. So I'm going to give it another day or so. In the meantime, I'm going to support my teammates and show the fans what we accomplished last season. I'm going to be there. Rather than sit at home and stay off of my feet, I'm coming to the damn arena. Why is that a problem?
And Key, let me add to this. Alan, what's the main narrative that we draw on Giannis every year?
He plays.
Wait, he plays.
And he balls out all season.
When it comes to the playoffs, he can't get it done.
Okay, so it's not like people are saying, man, aren't we proud of Giannis? He played every single game, and he really competes, and he's the MVP. No, we use that against him. So now you're telling me because a player misses a couple of games, but their team wins the banner.
Yes,
now we're
going to
hold that against them?
I'm Giannis, the scoring champion, and I'm going to be the regular season MVP.
Congrats. And then we bash him, and people kill him all single year.
Congrats. You guys are so good at playing the semantics game.
You're talking about a player with an injury that is taking an extra day.
This is
who
the example.
Says, celebrate our banner.
It's the example. This is only an example.
Oh, God, stop.
What you're missing is the point this is a problem.
Give me other examples that make you angry.
I'll tell you this.
Give me examples that make you angry.
I'm going to break the mic. I've been fortunate enough that I don't have to buy a ticket to an NBA game, right? So I don't have to worry about what it's going to cost me and my family to go see a team that I love or a player that maybe my kids love. But I have to just now take a dart, throw it at the calendar, and hope wherever it lands that Kawhi Leonard's going to play that night, because I just spent a ton of money to go see him play.
Kawhi Leonard has a history of injuries. He has a history of injuries.
Right.
So you have to load manage Kawhi because you don't want to prolong that injury. Well, I don't understand why that's a big thing.
So if
it's just about Kawhi, who else is it about?
So here's what you...
It's happening all over the league. Guys just stay, they sit
so
out.
So if you're asking me, Buttercup,
give me the suck it up Buttercup line, really?
If you're asking me...
I'm what?
To let you know ahead of time that I'm not going to play, I can't do that because I'm going to try and go and give it a go. I have to go through shoot around and I have to go through things. Am I right? Am I lying, Jay?
You know,
can I tell you?
Let me tell you two weeks from now. I was trying to think of the day's date, whatever it is. May 31st.
I will not be playing. I'm not going to tell you that I'm not going to play on May 31st.
You understand that literally is what happened, right? Look at the schedule and they say, wait, all right, that's a 3-4. We're going to sit him out. We got to sit him out one of those games. We got to sit him out here. Kyrie Irving just takes time off.
At that moment, Kyrie Irving doesn't know that something may come up that he has to take time off for.
You guys are right. It's not a problem in the NBA. You're right. The commissioner has talked about it. In fact, they've changed rules just to make sure it doesn't happen. But you're right. It's not a problem in the NBA.
The commissioner needs to understand that some players are actually injured. Some of them are actually
injured.
Some are,
and some are taking advantage of the system. Tell me I'm wrong. And why is it good for business?
I think you're wrong.
That it's not a problem in the NBA.
No, I think you're wrong that some people are taking advantage of the situation. I think you're wrong. I do. If a guy is hurt, or he's not feeling good.
I think
good.
Fans agree with me.
No, you want the fans to
agree with
you.
I don't need them to.
The fans are spending their money. I understand that. And I would be mad if I went to a Dodger game and it was against Verlander and Kershaw, and when I get there, he's a scratch. Yes, I would be mad because that happened. But I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, he's just low managing. He's wasting my money. I'm not going to do that.
Where do you think that term came from?
Well, it came
from
where?
Greg Popovich did it, and it started with him. And he did it because we're playing back-to-backs, and the league is forcing us to because they're putting us on national TV.
Yes, and he put them on Southwest Airlines.
I'm going to send a message, and my guys are going home because it's unfair they have to play a back-to-back.
Oh, here's the difference.
It started there.
This is so funny.
Alan,
the difference is... Why is it funny, Jay? Now, hang on. Why is it funny, Jay?
Because at the end of the day, man, we're sitting here. We don't value regular season games. We value it when we want to argue about it. Like you, as a fan, I value every single game. You value a regular season game against the Rockets more than you value a championship. That's what you're saying. That's essentially what it's turning into.
What are you trying to do? I'm going to explain it to you.
So you're telling me a game that's like the 50th game of the regular season. What you're saying to me is like, that game matters so much to me. I came here, I paid my money to see you play. I have to see you play. But if I don't see you play in the playoffs because you have an injury, then you're saying, like, well, I saw him play in the 50th regular season game. That's what matters
again,
to me.
And then he goes against the Rockets and tweaks it again.
I get you. But if he does tweak it, then it's a bigger problem than we thought. And how's he not going to tweak it in game one of whoever you're playing?
Because he's rested. I'd rather him tweak it in that game than against the Rockets. I'd rather give him a day or two more than to watch him play against the Rockets that we probably are going to beat.
And I'd rather have him there with the tweet. It was an example for Greeny to use to have the rant. I love Greeny, and it's great. Greeny's man. He's a mastermind at what he does. I think the timing of this argument just really stinks, considering off a truncated season, you have so many guys that missed time for COVID. Guys have been injured. Guys are trying to come back and play. Like it's like people are just finding something to pick with.
I don't even want to get into the truncated part of it or the COVID part of it. The damn dude is hurt. He's trying to heal. Why rushing back if there's no need to?
It's not about LeBron playing or not playing. It's okay for him to talk about
we're raising a banner.
You're still missing the point. It wasn't about him playing and not playing. It was how he put more importantly, which leads to the thought of, really, it's more important.
No, you can couch it however you want
to be there to raise a banner than to actually play, which tells everybody these games don't really matter.
Could you argue with this? Is science better now than what it was 30 years ago?
I would hope so.
Me too.
Okay. Is the money better now than what the money was 30 years ago?
Of course.
Okay. So are guys being more injured now due to the volume of games? I'm not saying that guys weren't injured back then, but the science didn't dictate, hey, this is better for your overall career.
You know what, though? You say that, right? The more we know, right, the better we should be, the less injuries there should be.
Yes.
I feel like there's more injuries than ever before. I feel like guys miss more time now than ever before.
I don't know that. I could go back in history. The Lakers lost to the Pistons in a championship because Coach Riley ran Magic and Worthy and Byron Scott and them to death in training. Basically had a double days during the playoffs, and they all got hurt with hamstrings. Had he had the science back then, he probably wouldn't have did that to them. Hmm. And they wouldn't have lost the championship. What was it, 88? This whole mentality, they wouldn't have lost that championship. It's not the way guys played 30 years ago. Does it make that way right? If Coach Riley had that information that they would have today.
Maybe not.
You're going to make me get up and leave.
I want to get some calls on this, but I will point out this, though, that since the NFL has gone to fewer practices in the offseason, have injuries gone down? Are teams better for it, for having less practice,
less times on the field?
But that's way more violent. Tell me how the injuries have not gone down.
Well, maybe LeBron can actually get on the court and get in the zone in the playoffs. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone, 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Antonio in Charlotte.
What's going on? How y'all gentlemen doing today?
What's up, man? How are you, Antonio?
Hey, see, like, every time LeBron says something, it'd be like somebody be right waiting. Ah, we got you, LeBron. We got you. We're going to get you. We're going to get you now. Go to the media. Okay, LeBron. He said it. Get him. That's what it seemed like the way do LeBron, man. Y'all got comment on that. It seemed like they'd be like, aha, gotcha.
Well, he is an aha got you guy. I mean, that's certain guys in professional sports. That's the way it is with a lot of guys, though.
And let's be honest about it. LeBron James moves him. Exactly.
Yeah, he moves the needle. So
when LeBron James says something, it moves the needle.
I'm not accusing Greeny of that, but Greeny's a fan of a sport, and he feels a certain way about it. Like I said, if I go into a Dodger game and I walk in and I'm expecting Verlander and Kershaw to pitch and one of them are not there, I'm going to be like, damn.
There's a sport where a guy will miss a start because of a, you know, like a toe.
But I don't know that in advance. And a guy can get to the ballpark. Yeah. DeGrom, he was a scratch the other day, and you were like, oh, he's going to pick. Well, he was out. He warmed up or whatever it was, and then all of a sudden he was like, I can't go. And I bought those tickets a month and a half ago.
It's a bigger issue in baseball for sure. But it's not really a management thing. More it is just these freak injury things. Like a guy could have a blister and suddenly not have the start.
But you're walking into the building and he's not playing. Right. And LeBron James, we were expecting him to play based on the media, and everybody said, "Oh, he's going to go tonight. He's going to go tonight. Oh, great, LeBron's going to go." And then all of a sudden, there's the red line comes across ESPN and says he's taking another day, and everybody goes crazy. Yes, I got on the floor. This is why people have pregame. This is why people go to the stadiums early to test to see. I feel good all week long, Jay. But when I get in the stadium, it's kind of like, you know what, man? Something ain't right. Mm. And then you say, I don't want to do it. Let's give it another day. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason for people to go bonkers in that situation. You have to understand the situation.
We just argued about, but more importantly, that's what the argument was about. More importantly.
That's the part.
It was more important to raise the banner is what really got people chapped.
But it's the celebration. It's the issue that people have with it. Evan, is the ceremony. Like, he thinks the ceremony is more important than the game.
That was more important than the game.
No, it's not.
Evan.
Then I'm going to tune in for the ceremony, and I'm not going to watch the game.
Evan, did you watch the game anyway? You didn't watch the game. The ceremony was more important. You didn't even watch the damn anyway. You can't even tell me who even plays for the damn Rockets.
The ceremony.
Darnell House.
The ceremony was more important. The ceremony was more important than me putting LeBron James out on the court and having him tweak it again when he's not ready.
And Key.
So you damn right the ceremony was more important.
And Key.
That is angry, Key.
They typically do the ceremony at the beginning of the year. For all the fans, but they couldn't do that this year due to different COVID protocols. So it was a big thing for LeBron and this team.
I will be the English major here and say that he was referencing, when he said more importantly, he meant more importantly, you were here to see this.
Yes.
Is what he was saying. We got to do this in front of you. I know that's what he meant. This was, though, an opportunity to talk about something that has been a problem with this league, this year.
I'm so glad he didn't play and re-injure it. I'd rather see him play 2 weeks from now.
Understand, but I
against the Rockets, just so
really
important.
Might not that's be playing 2 weeks from now because they're going
to be out. That's a really
good
game to watch.
Yeah, that was the one.
Again, if he tweaks something in the first quarter of the 7-8 game and they lose. Well,
okay, so right. I'd rather for him then tweak it then.
Tweak it in the 7-8 game.
Yeah, tweak it in the 7-8
game. Not against
game.
The Rockets, Al.
Or you could play and get to the 6th seed and then you have a whole series.
We won the game.
Instead of losing.
No, it wouldn't matter.
We won the game.
You need Portland or Dallas to lose out. That's the only way.
They lost last night.
Okay.
Yeah. But and on top of
that.
Well,
the Lakers still won, right? The Lakers are still there.
We won the game.
They're still playing, right?
Exactly. What was the score? 122-124?
You won the game, but people are still complaining.
Two more points. Barely. That means we won.
It doesn't say schedule against this team. It's almost like the Knicks barely beat the Lakers
without AD and LeBron in the lineup. Barely.
No, it's like, man, stop. Knicks are 3-3. Knicks have a chance to sweep all LA teams. I barely beat the Lakers.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, though. I do want to hear from more fans on this. 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Speaking of baseball, tune into a National League battle tomorrow night. The Padres host the Cardinals. Coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chaps, Mike.
To your city. Loud noises. I love when you take a side.
Market madness continues. And we move on to Indianapolis in market madness. Again, what we're doing is going through 16 markets. We're picking the three biggest stars currently in that market right now. Like, guys that, you know, if there's one table left in the best restaurant, they're getting that table, right? That's who they are. Current players who currently play in that market. All the number one seeds will then move into a bracket we'll put together, and you, the viewer, the listener, will vote and see who is the number one star currently in sports. And you're laughing because?
I'm just thinking, where are they going to eat?
Where are they going to eat?
St. Elmo's.
In Indianapolis?
That's why
everybody goes to St.
Elmo's. I didn't
want to
say it.
Let's bring in Jeff Rickard, host of Jeff and the Big Joe Show on 107.5 and 93.5, The Fan in Indianapolis. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good. All right. So,
Jeff, please tell Keyshawn there's more restaurants than just St. Elmo's in Indianapolis. Please.
Hey, on the down low, it's owned by the same company, but about four doors down from St. Elmo's, there's a place called Harry and Izzy's.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning once had an ownership interest in it. It is my place to go. So next time you're here, Keyshawn, you and I are going to go check out Harry and Izzy's.
I just, you know, whenever I've been in Indy for Super Bowls, whatever, Monday night, St. Elmo's. Tuesday night, St. Elmo's.
Right.
It's not a bad option.
Go
it's
for it,
wrong.
Jeff. What's your list?
All right, the list is this, and you're catching Indianapolis in a bit of a transitional phase, right? Because obviously 15 years ago we'd have Peyton Manning and Reggie Miller and those kinds of folks. And even recently we'd have had Andrew Luck and Victor Oladipo or maybe Paul George, but all those guys have gone. And so the last couple of years has kind of been a whole turnover of stars here in Indianapolis, and because of COVID, a lot of people haven't been able to see some of those guys. And so young guys like Darius Leonard, who is going to be a huge star, and you guys all know who he is. He was the defensive rookie of the year a couple of years ago. He's fantastic. But right now, number three, probably the biggest star for the Pacers, he's been a double-double machine, is Domantas Sabonis.
Okay.
He's just putting up crazy numbers every night. He's getting his own triple-doubles every third or fourth night as well. He's really playing well. You can run the offense through him. He passes, he rebounds, he does everything. And he's easy to spot, and that's a big thing right now.
True,
you know, he's
a big
7 feet, and he's got a nice beard going, and he's ready to go.
Now, Jeff,
and
I just want to give
Darius
you
Leonard.
Right. I just want to give you a quick heads up. We got like a minute, so let's just roll through these. Sorry.
Okay. All right. And T.Y. Hilton is number one because he's been here the longest. People love him. He's got a big banner up on the side of Lucas Oil Stadium, and I think a year from now we're having a different conversation. We're probably talking, if things go well, about Carson Wentz, about Jonathan Taylor. People like that. I also had a lot of people say, you got to get some of the IndyCar drivers in there, like Tony Kanaan. But Tony hasn't won an Indy 500 in a while. Elio Castroneves, really popular here, but he hasn't won an Indy 500 in a while. So I think right now those are the three I go with. Domantas Sabonis, Darius Leonard, T.Y. Hilton.
Great stuff, Jeff. Thanks so much. T.Y. certainly makes sense. We'll keep an eye on what happens with Carson Wentz there. There's certainly no doubt about that. But there's a market there, obviously, where the Colts are the team. Right?
I'll probably squad, yes. I'll put Sabonis in front of Leonard, but that's me.
If the Pacers ever got like really good, though, I mean, that's
– Reggie Miller owned that city. Right? I mean, that's, of course, the Pacers. They love their Pacers, but they've kind of been a frustrating team. Hey, let's get back to LeBron. We'll let you weigh in next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Ridiculous.